All right, good morning. This podcast is brought to you by Home Theater Solutions. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit them at htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. My name is Tom Arquino, joined by my buddy from, I don't know, where are you from? The South, the North, the West?
I'm from everywhere. Southern Delaware, originally, Sussex County, Laurel, and then I live in Baltimore now.
That's what I thought. Baltimore, Mr. Trey Downs. How's it going?
Good, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Good. You're welcome. And it's funny, like, you know, when you have kids, I know you have kids, my kids, you know, they listen, you know, I'm always talking and chatting with different folks, and I have a couple people named Trey, and whenever I talk about a Trey, they go, you mean Trey Downs? I don't know why, but that's just how your name comes out, Trey Downs, so that's how it's going to be.
That's awesome. That's amazing. I'm actually, like, really starting to find more Treys. I don't know if it's like what it is. Like, I didn't realize, like, I always, you know, obviously Trey is not my name. I'm the third, right? So growing up, I had a hard time dealing with that in school, especially with attendance, because they always called me by my legal name, Edward Downs, right? So, like, I was absent a lot because, like, the first day of school, I was always absent because I never would recognize it as my name. I would, you know, Edward Downs, and it'd be complete silence. And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, Trey. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. But, like, growing up, I was not surrounded by any Treys. And then as I grew up and moved out and branched out, there's a lot more. It's, like, very common now. Like, it's, you know.
Well, I was going to say Trey Downs, or Trey at least, isn't that common of a name. Especially, I don't remember, like, in eighth grade knowing a lot of Treys.
No.
It was always, like.
No. So apparently, there was a Trey, and my brother's name is, his name is Tyler. And supposedly there was, like, a soap opera back in the day with Trey and Tyler where, like, the characters, my mom liked that. So it was like, you know, I'm like, oh, great.
Well, it's fun. You know, my son Sam, he's named after Sam Seaborn.
Really?
Do you know who that is?
No idea.
And you're like, oh, really? Yeah, that sounds good. Who the hell's that? Sam Seaborn was the Rob Lowe character on West Wing.
Oh, okay. Rob Lowe character.
Yeah. Well, it was the Sam Seaborn character played by Rob Lowe, I guess is a better way of saying it. But we're a huge fan of the West Wing, and I love Sam Seaborn in that show. So I was like, well, Eddie Vedder was off the table. I tried that. I didn't realize your name was Ed.
Edward Thomas Downs III.
Yeah. I love that name, Eddie, but, you know, I'm a big fan of Eddie Vedder. So I was my first one. I'm like, I think we're going to name him Eddie. Nope. Second one. Nope. I'm like, all right, how about Sam?
Yeah, my dad, like, so I'm the third. So, like, they're Eddie and Ed. And I don't know. I guess Trey. I don't even know. Why wouldn't they just name me Trey? But I've never been called Ed or recognized as Edward or anything like that outside of, like, legalities, right? Like, of school or
I might start calling you your full proper name like they do for Tom Brady. You know, whenever they talk about Tom Brady, they mention, like, his whole name, which is, I don't even know, Thomas Patrick something, yeah, Brady, yeah. The second. Awesome. I don't know. So what's been going on, man? So if people don't know, you've been on the podcast. Is this your second time?
Second time, yeah.
Yeah, repeat. Second time. You were a big inspiration for me. We've talked about this in the past, but our buddy Cam introduced us because you were doing a podcast up in Baltimore, and you know, I was wanting to start a podcast, and I reached out, and, you know, it's funny, like, if you were to start, like, open a bar, right, and then you hear of another bar opening, you're like, shit, you know, there goes my bar, you know, there goes, here comes the competition. But when you think about podcasting, it's definitely a tough gig to do and, like, to have some success, I guess, depending on what you're going to call success. But to be able to do it, it's not easy. So, you know, instead of, like, not helping somebody you think is going to be a competition, you know, it's in this business, it's okay to help because it definitely takes a village. And you know what? You were a big help for me. And I still sometimes I'll give you a call. I'm like, oh, my God, Trey, people, they're calling me. And you're always giving me good words of wisdom. And so that's how we met, and we become friends. And then for some reason, I thought you stayed in Rehoboth. I didn't realize you. Are you down in Bethany?
We're in Fenwick.
Fenwick. Yeah, I was like, yeah, let's go for a run, have breakfast. I'm like, bro, I'm just stopping by.
It's like an hour drive. I didn't realize how long it was, like, especially with, like, the lights around here, right? Like, It's a haul, especially hitting those 30 miles an hour in Dewey and Bethany.
Well, and it might be a little bit more of a haul going back because we now have a traffic issue here at the beach. Something we've always had, but we're seeing a new version of it this year, 2.0, traffic 2.0, and I don't want to make this about I hate traffic podcasts.
Well, what are you up to now? So, like, you started out when you called me, like, you're interested in making a podcast, starting a podcast. What did that look like? So we kind of had a conversation around that, and I got you started simple things, right? Like,
yeah,
the platform, what it needs to look like, you know, equipment, hardware, software. Like, now you're you've got how many shows now here?
I think we lost a couple. I think we're down to maybe 11 or 12. Plus, we're in the summer. You know, everybody's busy right now. It's hard. And I would say and you may agree, I think one of the hardest parts of podcasting, especially when people come that want to talk about doing the network, which is a social podcast network, is they're like, yeah, I want to do a podcast. I'm like, yeah, okay, that sounds great. But, you know, can you do it every week? Can you consistently do it for a year? I mean, it's not... You know, and we've seen them come, and they're excited, and then they kind of disappear. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see, but it is summer. But we were doing 13. I think we lost a couple.
Yeah, you have to be in it for the long haul. Like, this isn't something that's, you know, people get excited about it, but then they, like, start looking for the downloads and the listeners and the audience, and they see it, and they see, like, the opening, like, few episodes, and they're seeing the downloads, and they're, like, very excited about it, and then it trickles off eventually, just because, like, it's hard to get people to do things, right?
Right.
Like, Joe Rogan was like 10 years in the making. Like, I mean, a lot of people, if you listen to them, a lot of his friends that have popular podcasts, I mean, they're not 1 year wonders, you know, one hit wonders. They are something that has to be grown. It's like, it's just like a plant. Like, you have to plant the seed, you have to take care of it, you have to water it, and you have to every day come in and make sure it's getting the right, correct sunlight.
Yep.
And then one day it sprouts and it starts growing. And it's like, that's the same thing with a podcast that people don't realize is that you got to put in the work and be consistent, because people are going to be looking for your show. Does it come out weekly? How many episodes is it? I think I'm at 220 episodes.
So are you?
Like, yeah. 220. Wow. Like, I've been doing this since 2018.
So tell everybody your podcast, just in case they haven't been familiar with.
Your Superior Self. It's funny how that started. So it was basically like I started listening to a lot of different podcasts at the very beginning, and I was very intrigued by the money they were making in sponsorships, and I was like, man, I can do that for sure. Like, that's easy money. I can do that.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
Yes. You know, you have that idea. And then it's morphed into something more, I would say, valuable for me. It's like my PhD in life. It started out for like more business types, right? Like how to do something. Like, I'm very blue collar. I'm from Sussex County. Like, I've had dirty hands a long time in my life where I'm working with things, and I never really was a white collar dude. But as I grew in my career and what I'm, you know, in transportation industry, I soon became a manager, and I started, you know, wanting more for myself and, you know, improving self growth, self development. So I was like, you know what? I can help these guys, these blue collar guys, see the light and learn how to grow themselves and grow their business, whether they're plumbers or electricians or anything like that. And so, like, I wanted to be the inspiration for them. And the first, I would say, first 100 episodes, I was still trying to find my voice and what that would look like. And then I stumbled upon, like, some psychologists, which now I'm very hooked in psychology and spirituality and just, like, beingness, whole mindfulness, all of that. And it's, if you look at all of my episodes, you can kind of see the path that I've been on. And it's so, I can't even put a value on it. Like, it's helped me develop as a person, as a spirit, as a being, consciousness, like, just with everyone that I've had a conversation with, including yourself, right? Like, all the stories, right? Everyone has a story. Right. And to be able to talk to them about that, you take things, you take experiences, and you kind of apply it to your own life. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, I read a ton of books, right, on a lot of different subjects, psychology, spirituality, of business, of self-growth. And you could have all the knowledge in the world, but unless you have experiences to back that up, like, that's where the learning takes place. And for me, a lot of that learning took place in the podcast, like, that experience. So, like, I had to go through that. You know, I had a lot of life experiences trying to find myself, because I never really knew who I was. I was always trying to be something that I wasn't, or like I would, you know, I'd find a group of people and be like, oh, I fit in here. And then like maybe a 6 months later, I'm like, man, I don't vibe well with this, right? Yeah. Like I'm finally coming into my own, I guess.
Well, and what I was going to add to that is that, you know, if someone's checking out a podcast, I mean, when you, you know, one of the things that I've, and I love the story because I feel the same way, you know, watch people evolve as a podcaster. You know, mm-hmm. I know that I've learned, I mean, I remember sitting in this room right here with, I forget who my first guest was, but I was like an idiot, you know, I felt that way. But, you know, you learn to listen. You learn to have better conversations. Mm-hmm. You learn to how you can guide the conversation. You know, I did a podcast with Chris Antonio the other day, and he's a big fitness guy. But he's got a lot of secrets, right? You know, little fitness secrets. But, you know, they're not mind-blowing, but they're his gig. And, you mm-hmm. know, so I'm not going to have the guy on and try to divulge all his secrets. So it's figuring out how to have conversations by learning, but still, you know, not ruining the whole guy's business at the same time. So what I was going to say is, listen, if you're trying out a podcast for the first time, give him a chance, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. they're working on it.
Sure.
We're always working on it.
I've never considered myself a really good communicator ever, like in my life. Like I was just always socially awkward or very shy, but the podcast I have blossomed into this like speaker or a conversationalist where mm-hmm. I can feel the flow of any conversation and kind of, you know, guide it to where I want to go. Like you can guide things. Like it's weird. Like I never thought that I could, but I can, like my wife gets, you know, a little angry sometimes because like when we're in an argument, I can kind of like see where she's at.
And you turn it into a podcast. Yeah,
I turn it into a podcast. Like I'm kind of like,
all right, put your headphones on.
I see your point. But let's talk about this. Like I'm very good at changing the subject and flowing into something else. And she doesn't like that because she wants to stay on the thing that is upsetting her. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
So, yeah, I mean, the podcast for me has been my PhD in life. It has been my PhD in finding out who I am and who Trey is. And all my guests are different, right? Like, I'm very interested in consciousness, like very interested in what makes the human grow. Not just like, you know, success as far as like the materialism aspect of life, not what society says is success, but like what is it that the consciousness inside of us, our hearts, our minds, like what triggers that? What makes a human want to grow? What happens when you start to grow? Like what is it? You know, and Abraham Maslow has been a really good inspiration for me with his hierarchy of needs and psychology and Carl Jung and Stan Grof and Ram Dass. I mean, there's just been so many people that have been influential that have been from a distance, you know, not necessarily guests to my podcast, but I would never ever pick up one of their books if I hadn't started the podcast.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No, it makes sense. I'm not the guy that reads a lot of books. I'm just kind of, I probably feel like I could write a book really, but you know, mm-hmm. the, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in my life at least is that like the first half of my life has been a lot of self-centered stuff. And the second half of my life has been a lot of humility based stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, they say like, you know, as you're young, it's you want to be raised by your mom. But as you get older, you want to be raised by your dad. You know, it started getting tougher and our life starts to change. And I think that, you know, what I thought was one thing 10 years ago is different. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. and not that anything's different, but I'm different, you know, and you know, this higher road kind of path. You know, when you mentioned thoughtfulness and mindfulness, and I'm thinking, you know, my parents were never into mindfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, why do we look at it now? Is it just the evolution of humans, or because, you know, it was much more of a grind, it seemed, back in the 60s and the 70s. Mm-hmm. You know, we got up, we went to work. There was no yoga. I mean, of course, there were people doing stuff, but, you know, it wasn't a trending. Maybe social media has created mm-hmm. it.
Well, technology, for sure. I mean, you look back at a lot of the eras that you're discussing is, you know, our parents, if they wanted to learn about something, they would either learn it through school, which society was not teaching them at that time. They had a curriculum and they had to produce, you know, followers, really. So you're not going to get a lot of the mindfulness game, yoga, or anything like that, unless you go to a library.
Right.
Right. And how many of our parents had time to go to a library, you know, raising kids, working, you know, it's maybe somewhere else, right? But not in where I'm from. Not, right. You know what I mean? My parents went to work, they raised three kids, and they didn't have time to research this stuff. And it was looked down upon by, obviously, you know, like religious sects here in Sussex County. It's like very huge Methodist population. There is some Catholicism floating around here somewhere. But religiously, people look, they used to look down upon meditation, right? Like, they're like, what are you doing? Like, what, you're sitting in your living room and you're doing what?
It's witchy.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, even like yoga, people look down on that. Like, what is that? It's from India? Oh my God. What are you Hindu now? Like, and I practice yoga now, and I practice mindfulness and meditation. And I can tell you one thing right now, like, it is the most important parts of my day. Maybe not so much yoga, more so running, right? Running is my yoga, but mindfulness and meditation for sure have opened up so many different answers inside of me, right? It's all subjective, really. I mean, religion and, you know, all, I wouldn't even call it religion anymore. Spirituality is very subjective. Like, your experience with God and that oneness is very subjective, because it the only meaning that it has is the meaning that you put to it. And if it's, like, you know, very intimate, like what I figure, you know, what I consider to be very intimate in my own life with the, whatever you want to call it, God or the universe or the cosmos, you know, through meditation is where I have that communication. It's like where I have the most powerful insights. Like, I can, I don't know if you meditate or not. I don't know if,
it's all a meditation.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there is, you know, if I walked into a class and was taught how to meditate, you sit down and do this. But, you know, for me, it's really about just cleaning it up, quieting up the mind. If my mind is just full of thought, you know, I need to chill out and take a second. But, you know, I try to meditate really all throughout the day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I'm going to do some hard meditation, I'll never forget this Eddie Harold. He's not around here anymore. I think he moved somewhere, Colorado or something. But he was a big breathing guy. And we used to do this, the spin class with like a yoga and a breathing, and then we would do this breathing exercises on spin bikes, and it was crazy. But he'd be like, you know, all right, let's close our eyes. Now try to picture a tennis ball. And I was like, oh. And that was a big deal. You know, lay down, close your eyes, and try to picture a tennis ball, because it takes all you have to focus on a tennis ball. And then you start, you know, the tennis ball has different shapes and different sizes. It spins, it spins different ways. It's fuzzy. It's really smooth. So you start trying to figure out, well, what does this mean? You know, what is this kind of, you know, is it fuzzy? Am I aggravated about family? Or is it really slick? Am I, you know, concerned about business? You know, I don't understand that, how deep that goes, but there's something to that. But I know that if I can focus and see a tennis ball, I'm meditating.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny that you say that, because I've been reading, like, so I'm a big fan of like recreating your reality. Like, so up to this point in my life, I've created everything, I manifested everything unconsciously, just through my programming and the conditioning that I've received throughout my life, right? And so I'm consciously trying to recreate my reality, whether that's you know, something with the podcast or what have you, like a speaker, more of a speaker role, and doing things and having fun in life. And one of the things that I've been researching is like through manifestation and meditation is like physically manifesting things in your reality. Like, so what you're talking about with the tennis ball, so there's this guy called Neville Goddard, who is a, I don't know, he used to be a guy, used to teach these things like back in the day in the 30s, I think, in the 40s, 30 or 40s. And there's YouTube videos of him. And he says, like, your imagination is like a part of that manifestation, creation stuff. And like we were talking about with the tennis ball. So like for the rest of the week, just for your listeners to try to do this, because I've done this a couple of times and it's very interesting. Like, before you go to bed, when you lay down to go to bed, don't go to bed immediately, but just kind of stay awake and imagine yourself holding a baseball, right? Imagine what it feels like, the laces, the weight of it, the feel of it, and do that. You know, even picture yourself throwing the ball, whatever. Just touch it, just feel it, imagine it. It has to be very detailed. What does it look like? Is it dirty? Is it white? And do that for the remainder of the week. Just do it for a week. And at some point, you'll start realizing that baseballs will start popping up everywhere in your reality. It's crazy. Like, it's happened to me. Like, seriously, I've done it, just, you know, because I'm like, even like with the ladder, right? Like, visualize yourself going up a ladder, and he teaches this. Like, you grab one rung, you go up to the next one, and feel yourself going up the ladder, like physically in your imagination before bed, and then tell yourself. He even says, tell yourself, you're not going to manifest this. Like, there's just no way it's going to happen. and you do that for a week, and then eventually you'll find yourself, whatever that is, like producing, manifesting that consciousness, that reality. Like, you're like, there's so many stories of this guy, and he's like, you can easily do this in your reality, like whatever you want to do. So I've been researching a lot of that, like just trying to produce that. I think a lot of it has to do with like mindset, positivity, affirmations, and things like that. But it's funny because I'll go for a run after doing these like meditations of a baseball, just, you know, practicing that skill of like physically feeling something in my meditation. And I'll be running like out in like somewhere in you know, boondocks, and it'll be a baseball just laying there. I'm like, and I'll just start laughing. I'm just like, oh, this is insane, dude. I don't know. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Well, I mean, anytime, of course. I mean, sometimes somebody, it's like serendipity, right? It's kind of like, you know, you'll say something and all of a sudden you keep hearing the word. All of a sudden, like, you know, like I'll probably hear the word Trey, the name Trey a couple of times today for some reason, just because we discussed it. So, yeah, I mean, I think it definitely happens. You know, but I also think there's something else that has to take place, and it's called willingness. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a surrender. There's a kind of a, you know, wave the white flag, you know, because if you're going to go into some of this spiritual thoughtfulness, mindfulness stuff, you have to have an open mind. You know, it's like going to a tarot card reader and being like, this is a bunch of bullshit. You know, I don't care. I'll try it, right? I'll do it. But it's a bunch of bullshit. And then exactly what it is, it's a bunch of bullshit for you. But it's, you know, there's a, you know, I think for me, I can learn about a lot of stuff if I just have an open mind about it. Maybe it's not exactly the way it was. I was supposed to learn it. But even if it's just the ability to say, hey, listen, man, if I open my mind, I can be open to different thoughts and ideas, there's some freedom to that. Mm-hmm. You know, people that are mad, people that are angry, people that are locked up. You know, my dad, unfortunately, and I think it happens with a lot of people, you know, they're so cynical, right? They've seen it all. They've done it all. You know, we'll watch. I try to have my father over a few nights a week for dinner, and I'll put on, I'm like, all right, let me find something really cool on YouTube so my dad can watch this, you know, something about AI or, you know, something. And he's like, yeah, that was pretty good, but you know, it's all bullshit. Is it bullshit? I mean, we just watched the whole show about it. But, you know, it's this, but he doesn't have an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is locked up. There is no thoughtfulness for him. There's a reason, and I'm sure he can prove it, but it's, so yeah, I think the ability to be open minded and to accept that kind of stuff and learn from it.
Yeah, no, there's a shift going. I think a lot of people, maybe it's information technology or whatever, I don't know, but I think there is a shift going on, like collectively as a society, and being more open minded to these things, right? I think you know, consciousness to me is the game changer. Like, where is consciousness? It's like it does not originate in our brain. Like, it's everywhere, right? There's information everywhere. And I think a lot of people kind of see the empty space. And like, even in this room right now, you think there is just space between you and I, but it's not, it's all information. It's like, even at the smallest level, the quantum physics level, there is information in between us.
Oh, I like that stuff.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, we're just now learning about it. I mean, like, we used to think that back in the 70s that, like, you know, atoms were the smallest particles, and it's not accurate anymore. It's all energy. Everything is energy.
Well, I think we're going to see a real the next 10 years is going to be a mess to me, I think. And, you know, maybe not a mess. I think it's going to be a mess for this system that we've all been just kind of plopped into, right? You know, you're born, you've already got, there's a system, there's a path that we're supposed to take, whether, you know, it's through schooling, you know, get a job, you get a family, raise a family, you grow old and die. I mean, there's this system that's already in place.
It's a machine, man.
It's a machine. And I think, and you mentioned that we're starting to see a shift. I think what we're starting to see a shift is a bunch of people are tired of being in the machine, including me.
I'm tired of it. I want to break out. Like, this is, the podcast is me breaking out of the machine.
Dude, exactly. I told my wife the other day, because she works for a big company, a big corporation. And you know, and we talked about the Fourth Turning, the book The Fourth Turning. Did you read that?
No. I don't. What is it?
It's called The Fourth Turning, but it talks about, you know, these sequiums of time, these 80, 85-year periods of time, and this last sequium is called the crisis, and it's this last 20 years, and it happens every 80, 85 years, and it usually ends in some sort of war, whether it's a civil war, the Revolutionary War, whatever it is. But the war I think we're about to see is this war of pay, you know, because they're paying people Chick-fil-A more then they're paying my wife, who is in charge of like a ton of money at a bank. Mm-hmm. And but the problem is these corporations, they got no more money. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been squeezed and wrung out, and you know, every bit of profit has been distributed, mm-hmm. and there is no room for growth. And sure. I think we're about to see a lot of growth that's supposed to start happening. Or people, and you know, I'm in the hair business. I see people sitting in my chair all the time saying, listen, if they call me back to work, I'm quitting.
No.
They're all working from home, mm-hmm. which is great. And I shouldn't say they're all. I mean, the folks are all working from home. That's what we've been doing. But, you know, Apple's a great example. Just watch the story on them. They're saying, you know, we're innovators. You know, we innovate. We come together. We look at each other in the eye. We laugh. We cry. We build. We create. We invent. But we do it as a group. We don't do it from home. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, eh, well, you know, I'd rather just quit my job and stay at home. And I've heard it 100 times for different people just around this area. If I could sell one car, cut down my expenses, and be a stay-home dad or a mom, mm-hmm. and just be with family and focus on what's really important, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we're going to start seeing. And listen, I think, believe it or not, you know, I got this in this kind of, not an argument, but a deep conversation yesterday with a lady about this. And she's like, you know, there'll always be jobs. And I go, what, we're all just going to work on robots? You know, and then, you know, we talked about the universal basic income. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's a pretty good idea. I think it's going to be our only choice. I don't think that there's going to be
unemployment, right? That's a universal income, right? Like, I think you're seeing a big surge in that now because they're paying, right? Like, what is it, $1,000 a week in Maryland, I think, for unemployment. And why do you want to go back to work? Why do you see all these? There's signs everywhere. I'm riding up the highway today to come here, and we're hiring everywhere. But who would want to come back to work to be in the grind, to be in the machine when they're getting paid a salary, a universal salary income, right? Unemployment, you know, call it what you want. But like to
well,
stay
there
home.
There's a little difference because in unemployment you're playing the game, right? You're not working, so they're paying you. A universal basic income was basically we're going to pay you $1,000. Work, don't work. You know, if I gave you $1,000 and you're like, oh wow, okay, so that covers basically a lot of stuff. So add work onto it, so you can have your job plus your basic income, or you can choose not to work. But it's not like you're playing the game. Mm-hmm. They're paying you. You can work and just have extra money. And, you know, people are like, oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, they're like, oh, it's a socialist, you know, government, right? That's socialist. I don't care. Like, I'm all for that, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, here's great. The thing. You allow that freedom to do what you want and to take that money and go and invest it in whatever that you feel like you need to go do, right? For me, I already told my wife, I was like, look, if I was single right now, I'd probably be in India right now, like doing something spiritually, like finding that path of whatever, nirvana, whatever, higher enlightenment, like searching. I just want to see the world. Like, I feel like the world is our playground that we never take advantage of. We just, you know, if you're in the machine, you're staying in your localized area for 30, 40, 50 years, retiring, dying there. Look around at what we have. Like, I mean, just in the United States alone, like the Grand Canyon, like the Western Coast, it's, you know, California. Take the politics out of everything and just look at the beauty that surrounds
Dude,
us.
The upper part of Maine.
Yeah. I mean, everywhere. I mean, places that I've never been, but are just so beautiful. Like you want to talk about God and spirituality. Like, you can feel God in those places more so than you can feel in a church. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like you go, even like here running, right? Like where you run, the pictures, they're so mm-hmm. beautiful, right? Like
yeah.
When I go to the beach and I feel that power of the ocean, like of
it's because
like,
you're humbled, you're suffering.
Yeah.
Self stayed back at the beach house, you know, and we've talked about this I was completely enlightened through running, mm-hmm. through suffering, through self, through humility, mm-hmm. you know, and you probably go through it. Let's not run today, Trey.
Yeah.
Yeah, your leg probably hurts. Mm-hmm. Your foot's going to probably hurt. It's going to be long. It's hot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to push the cart. The baby's going to be like with you.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you know what? Fuck you. And you go out and yourself's like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, I'm going to wait here. I'll do cool push-ups here in the corner while you go get your humility on.
Sure.
But then you start that run. And then, you know, I say the first year I slay all my, or the first mile I slay everybody.
Oh, man.
I kill all the people that I hate, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a couple miles later, I'm like, ah, I'm full of regret. You know, the fifth mile, I'm up making all my amends. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, you know, but it's a journey. And then when you get back, self's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, slowly creeps back in.
I always said I'm going to write a book, and the title's going to be The First Mile. It's just, you know what I mean? The First Mile is always hardest, dude. It's always the hardest. And I think that's in life is just getting to that point of, like, where, you know, you're just learning. There's no guide. There's no book of how to be a human being. It's just kind of like you're thrown into this world, this rat race, wherever you land up, and you kind of, you go with the flow. You look at your parents, you respect them, you love them, and they're telling you how to be, and then society's telling you how you should live, and you got to do this X, Y, and Z to be a successful person in this society, and the world telling you one thing. It's just, and then when you kind of awaken, you're like, I have a new respect for that movie, The Matrix. Like, so much more respect for that movie.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. But then you kind of awaken. You want to call it a spiritual awakening or what, consciousness awakening. But you kind of step back and you kind of see everything. Like, you see the conditioning. You see the programs that are influencing you throughout your life. And you're kind of like, man, what is this? And now that's the first mile. You know what I mean? That's the first mile up to that point. And you're standing back and you look at it and you're like, man, like, that was painful. But where do I go from here, right?
So do you think a spiritual awakening, you said it, so I'm going to talk about it. Do you think that that's something you find, or it's a byproduct of something else?
I think it's something you stumble upon. I think it's all driven by curiosity, I think.
Yeah, my belief is it's the byproduct, or a self... A spiritual awakening is a byproduct of a removal of a lot of shit. I think we might have even talked about this the last time, but about the Corvette, if I was like, Trey, I got your Corvette, and I pulled it up, parked it in your yard, in your driveway, high five, you know, and then threw the keys in the garage and then filled the garage with boxes. So you have a spiritual, you know, we're spiritual, right? We have a spirit. That's our humanism. That's our, you know, that's our light. That's what keeps us motivated, driven. But understanding how it works, so, you know, you throw a bunch of boxes in the garage, and then you have the Corvette, it's right there, but you can't use it because you don't have any keys. You don't have the key to this awakening, this spirituality. But so you go into that garage, and you're like, all right, and then it's like self-centered fear, gluttony, whatever this, you know, this character defects or shortcomings that we have in our life, then we start removing them. We start working on them, right? You know, you said you were shy. You know, so maybe you put your hand out and you make a point to shake hands. You start coming out of that. You start removing that shyness. The box that says, I'm shy. You got rid of the box. And all of a sudden, you have a path to the keys to the spiritual awakening. So it's a byproduct of a lot of work. And it sounds like you may be doing more work than you realize.
Oh, yeah. Say there's boxes, right? Like, they say, I'm shy. You have to be careful, especially as a parent, because sometimes you don't even put those boxes in there. People put those boxes in there for you. Like, when you're saying you're shy,
I put them in there for you. I'm the one who put them in there.
But, like, you know, like, for the longest time, like, I've heard my parents or my grandparents or whomever's in my family just say, oh, he's shy. You know, he's very quiet. He's shy. You know, and, like, I just, okay, I'm shy, I guess. I don't know.
You start believing it.
You start believing shit, right? Like, yeah. I mean, it's no fault of anyone's, you know, like, it's not anyone's fault. It's just we do this unconsciously to other people, you know, and we don't realize we're doing it.
Do you try to be more conscious, you know, as a father?
I try.
With your kids?
I try to be, and I catch myself. Like, I'm asleep, and then all of a sudden I'll say something that triggers myself, and I'm like, oh, shit, I shouldn't say that. You know, because, like, now I'm not saying, like that I know more than anybody else. I'm more conscious of what I'm saying to them. Like, you know, I've done some research in school because I'm going back for psychology on praising children. Like, you should do it. Like, they call it entity praise, or I can't remember the other term, but, like, entity praise is like saying you're good boy, good job, good boy. And the problem with that is if they don't do things up to your standards, now they're looking at it like, oh, well, I'm not a good boy anymore because I'm not doing the right things. You know what I mean? It should be like good effort. It should be effort praise.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I never really knew the difference on that until you reached and see the research on it. But how many times have I done that where I've looked at my kid and said, good girl. And I'm like, shit, you know, later on in life, will this mess her up? Because, like, she's going to think she's not adequate enough as a person. Like, I need to start praising the effort more. Like, you know, just things like that. I mean, who knew? Like, I would never have known that if I never saw the research. But there's so much research out there about a lot of different things that people don't understand, like, aren't conscious of. I think just being conscious is the key.
I think when we're praising like that, I think we're also trying, there's like, you know, almost two different kinds of camps of people, outcomes. You know, you have the killers, you know, the hard, the sports addicts, you know, the grinders. And then you have the more of the spiritual side. You know, we're more of a spiritual side of the family. We're not like cutthroat, you know, kill them, finish them. You know, it's more like, you know, prayer. You know, kids today, I don't know about your kids. I know my kids, especially my middle one, my son Sam, you know, he gets very stressed. He gets anxious. He gets anxiety. And, you know, instead of like, it's going to be fine. You know, I'm like, you know, let's pray about it. Let's recognize it. Let's discuss it.
Or what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You never say that to a kid with an anxiety.
No.
Never say that.
And we also, we don't ask in prayer. We recognize. We say, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. Mm-hmm. And depending on the level of anxiety will depend on the amount of times we have to say it. Mm-hmm. But that's what we go to first. We say, well, I go, hey, did you pray about it? You know, did you recognize it? You know, we don't ask, dear Lord, make me better. Dear Lord, fix this. Dear Lord. It's like, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. For some reason, it's giving me some anxiety, and I'm just putting it out there. I'm recognizing you, and I'm recognizing it.
Sure.
And it seems to be a kind of a – because – I mean, you know, we're in a pill kind of lifestyle now. I mean, they'll get these kids on pills, and you know, we just saw a weird example of it in the Olympics with the girl, you know, these focus medicines, and it's just, I think it's about recognizing, and it's about the humility, you know, because when you get too far in life and all of a sudden you got to start changing your ways, it can hurt your feelings, you know, and all of a sudden we don't know why. We got to this point, you know, and that's where, like, sometimes medications and stuff will come in. So we're more of a spiritual-based family, you know, surrender, white flag, you know, higher road, I'm sorry, I made that's a mistake. Good. Yeah, well, is it, you know?
Well, I mean, it's I think that surrendering, right? Like, that's the hardest thing. Well, a lot of, like your outside reality is usually a reflection of the inside, right? Like, even with my kids with higher anxiety, it's kind of like, well, you look at their surroundings, their environment, and what is triggering that? Like, what is triggering that environment? A lot of it has to do with electronics, you know? Like, a lot of it, you know, I don't know how kids are going to do it. Like, I'm fearful for my kids because of the access to technology. I mean, they're FaceTiming their friends or... You know, there's suicide, like it's the number one killer between ages of 15 and 30 and depression. Like it's like these kids see, you know, they're getting Facebook accounts, Instagram accounts, like, and they're looking at the, you know, imagine, put yourself in their shoes, what they're seeing. They're seeing their friend. They're seeing their friends. Like you might, or not you, but I'm just saying people listening to this might have a hard time. Like there is something that is directly correlated with depression and Facebook. Like people see other people's lives, you know, Facebook lives, and they see how great it is or what it seems, and they get depressed because their lives are not like that. Think about the kids, right? They see their buddies getting all the cool gear, all the cool video games, and you know, they're playing Fortnite and they're all communicating on headsets, and they're like, it's insane. Then this statistic of like suicide being the number one killer between the ages of 15 and 30 is a powerful figure. Like, it's why? Because I think it's our environment that we're putting our kids in. Like, you know, I'm not anti-technology, but it's like we need to be more conscious of that. Like, I hate to say it, my son probably plays too much video games, but it's, and my daughter, she's on iPad and she's watching, you know, a lot of Disney Plus stuff. And it's just, we get so comfortable with them utilizing this technology. It's like, but what are the effects of that? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think it's, you know, I think my kids are, the other day, I think my son might have watched an electronic device for 24 straight hours. I mean, he was like, he's got the Oculus, he's got his iPad, he goes from the computer, puts the Oculus on the charger, he's got the iPad charging, he's got a phone. He's, I mean, I don't know, maybe he's going to be awesome at something later on in life.
I try to keep that attitude too. You know, he's different, right? So my son is not, he's not going to go, like, we put him in a soccer camp and he's like, you know, complaining about the grass and bugs. And I'm like, all right, well then it's not your thing, but what is your thing? We're trying to find his thing. And he's into magic right now. Like he loves watching YouTube and like doing magic tricks.
Sure.
And then what else is it? Guitar. He likes playing the guitar. And we're just trying to guide him, you know, like he's his own compass, right? Like I don't need to be overbearing on him, and he knows what he's into, and I'm just kind of helping him guide him along that. I don't want to be the dad that's kind of like, you're going to go play baseball or you're going to go play football and you're going to like it. And, you know, you'll thank me later when you're in high school and you're playing varsity and you're around your brothers and, you know, your guys are going to war together, blah, blah, blah. It's just, I'm not going to be that guy because why, you know, like,
yeah, I have people close to me that are like that. And I just, it makes me, I don't know what it is. It creates a serious reaction out of me. And I don't know if it's because I feel like I'm falling short and not doing enough as a parent pushing my kids into sports. I you know, or I'm just analyzing them, looking like they're vicariously living through their kids, mm-hmm. you know, this, and then I'm starting to go down this path. Oh, I bet they were picked on. And then I'm like, whoa, you're way off your square. You know, it's none mm-hmm. of my business, yeah. really. I mean, and I think that's a lot of the problems that we have today is that people just don't mind their own business. You know, there's a lot of great phrases from the old days, you know, mind your business, you know, these simple little things. That just, meant a lot, yeah. you know?
You just never know what other people's storms are, right? You just never, and I tell my wife this quite a bit, not that she, you know, we have conversations and my answer is always like, you just don't know where they're at in their life. You don't know what they're struggling with. So like, even with like parents, like, you know, I fall in that too. Like my daughter, Ava, she's very good at soccer. So like, you know, we have her on a travel team, but like I do that because I see something in her. Like she has a gift, athleticism, whatever you want to call it, and I want to nurture that for her. For you know, she enjoys it and she likes it. But I find myself falling into that. Oh, you know, like I can easily be the parent who's yelling on the sideline and saying, you know, you need to try harder, blah blah blah. But then that's when I, you know, the consciousness, the mindfulness kicks in, and I can see that. And pull myself back and be like, just let her have fun. Like, just allow her to go out there, have fun, do whatever.
And I think, you know, in the end, all you really want is just a kid that's going to be able to, you know, survive in society, right? I call them mini-dults. I don't call them kids. I call them mini-dults. Because really, my son Sam, at 10 years old, I mean, he can't drive and mm-hmm. he can't cook. But he can do just about everything else. And he's very, you know, like, especially when it comes to technology. Here, give me that. He's like, just start working through it. And I'm like, okay, right now you're really more advanced than I am. I mean, as a mini adult. So, you know, I think that's another big thing is always being open to listen to what my kids have to say. And plus, the other thing is with a 9, a 10, and a 15, you know, I'm over here getting some hugs and loves from my young ones and my old ones. Like goodbye, you know. He's like he's down at two dips, you know, mm-hmm. hanging out with his friends, and so I'm like. I'm feeling short on one side and I'm feeling love on the other. So it's, I think as a parent, I have to be open to, you know, suggestions and learning and, you know, not this rigorous path that like my dad really was on when he raised us, you know, mm-hmm. you go to school, we have summer break, we go camping, we go back to school, we go to school, we sure. go to summer break. It's just, I don't know. And I think obviously what we're going through right now, I mean, you have got to be open-minded and,
yeah, I'm right there with you. I think, you know, again, I think kids have their own compasses, internal compasses, and they kind of know where they're going to go and do what they want to do, and there's no changing that. Like I tell my wife, either you have it or you don't athletically. It's simple as that. Like you have hand-eye coordination or you don't.
Right.
And it's, I think the tough, you know, even as a parent, like I am, it's making me a stronger parent because it's, what can I do to help him be a better person, not just an athlete or a student, but like a better human being, right? And just kind of nurturing that and seeing him. And he's very, I don't know, having a conversation with him. It's funny because he's 11 now. So he's like, you know, he's a mini adult. And
mini adult.
And things he says is just hilarious. They crack me up. Like he says things I would never have said at 11. And I love every bit of that because he's his own person.
Well, he's not as much affected by self. He's not as affected by fear, right? He doesn't, you know, it's like my kids. They don't know the reality. I mean, they know, but they don't know. They're still like, yes, yeah. I could do this. I could be an astronaut. And you're like, yeah. Okay. You know, yeah. I think the for me, one of the cool things about having kids is that it keeps me, you know, kind of fresh, keeps me kind of in it. You know, mm-hmm. I think we as adults, former mini adults, right, have created this issue that we have today on our hands, which is whether it was through CNN, you know, the little girl that fell in the well, that story. I don't know if that was the seed that planted this fear that we live in today. Yeah. But, you know, treating the United States as a community. And when something happens in, like, Texas, and we all go back and look in our backyards to see if there's a hole in the ground for our kids to fall into. Sure. You know, we've eliminated this freedom that you and I grew up with. I know for me, I definitely grew up with. We were, I mean, the sun come up, I was on my bike and I was out.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, you know, just, you know, come back a little later, you know, check in. But, you know, there was no kidnapping. Nobody was worried.
Yeah.
And
well, now I think you have to worry about them not leaving the house at all. Like, just because of, like, do you see kids playing in the neighborhood? I don't know. Where I'm at, I don't see any kids playing. Like,
well, in our house, we're afraid to let the kids out. My wife is completely terrified to let her daughter outside and play without us sitting out there
mm-hmm.
with the tracker on her, with binoculars, you know, with the freaking satellite dish, mm-hmm. you know, because she thinks that she will get kidnapped.
Mm.
And so what does that mean? We don't want to sit outside. So what happens? We all stay in the house. And it's we've created it, this fear. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, we so like the kids will go, like, they'll go outside. But I'm talking about, like socializing with other kids. Like, my daughter has an easier time than my son, who is he's socially awkward like I was at one point in my life. But
that's good.
Yeah, but it's, again, like, I don't see a lot of kids playing out in the streets like we used to. Like, maybe I hate to be that person that says, oh, back in the day, we used to, you know, we literally, I mean, like you said, we get on our bikes and we go out and we would not come back until late in the afternoon, early evening. And I mean, we were playing football. We were, I mean, it's just, but is it technology? Is it that, you know, because now they're hanging out in different places. Now they're hanging out on Fortnite, on online platforms. Is that the new neighborhood? You know,
well,
what I mean?
I can, so, and so, like I've said, I have a range of kids. And I can tell you, my 15-year-old, he was a little late to the iPad game. When the iPad came out, he was a little older. Then, you know, that 5, 6, 4, 5, 6 kind of age. He was like 7, 8 when the iPad came out, and maybe a little younger. But he never got into it. But he was definitely big on gaming. He was a gamer, you know, tons of games. Well, he is evolving. You know, like, he rides his bike. You know, he loves to work, so he's always at work. He works at Casey's, and he's trying to get another job, a second job. But, like, now he'll go. Yeah, we're going down 2 dips. I'm like, all right, so that's like the malt shop, you know, back in the 40s, the malt shop. But, you know, we're going 2 dips, hang out, mm-hmm. you know, so all the kids mm-hmm. go down. So I don't think just because they like the iPad, just because they're in this place, doesn't mean mm-hmm. that eventually they're going to start to become social and hang out with friends. And I don't think they're doomed, right? I think they will eventually start to
sure.
to go.
I hope so. I hope what I hope for is maybe you'll see it. Maybe I'll see it when they get older. But, like, you know, definitely in person school, like, that is so important. I've seen it. You know, my kids go to Catholic schools, and they've done a really good job in the pandemic and getting them back in the classroom. But that plays a huge role, man. Like, just being around other kids and just, you know, feeling somewhat normal. Like, I feel bad for some of the public schools that have not been able to do that because of the pandemic, right? Like,
yeah.
As a parent, it's just been trying. And that I'm hoping that when they go back this fall, that will open up, you know, they can have a 4-year school, they can, you know, remend those relationships, and hopefully, you know, hopefully we, you know, proceed without, I'm assuming the mask policy is going to come back, but.
They just meant, well, I don't know about for adults, for many adults, they got to put their mask back on. And I was like, so pissed.
I don't know, man. I just, whatever. Just get them back in the class. I don't even care. Just get them around other people.
My young ones were in class all year last year.
Yeah. Well, I know some of the Baltimore area schools, they were not at all. Like, it was hard to get the teachers back in the classroom for, you know, obviously union reasons. But
should just pack up Baltimore and just come on down to the beach.
I want to.
Get yourself a little place down here.
I want to.
Get out here in Milton.
Yeah. It's building.
Dude, we'll
up.
Just start podcasting. We'll just.
Yeah.
So you only do one podcast.
Mm-hmm. You got like 11.
I do personally like 4. We do the Music Discovery Podcast, the Pearl Jam Podcast, the I'm Sorry About Last Night Podcast, Rehoboth Social Podcast. And now I'm starting a new podcast today called Sports Talk.
Today.
For the win.
Oh, man, that's awesome. What's that going to look like?
I'm not sure. We're just going to start talking sports.
What's the spiritual one you just had?
Oh, Are You Spirited?
Yeah. What is that? What's the format?
Kind of like this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. And I was going to ask you this. Do you feel sometimes like you're kind of put into a corner with your podcast? Like, do you get to still have fun you know, I'm noticing like with the social, I'm having more people call now, want to come on the podcast. It was really about local business. Just did a podcast. In fact, I'm going to send you her name or send her your name because I think she would be a great guest on your podcast. And but she had this Exit Rich book that she put out, and she's been on Fox News and all this different things. And she's about, you know, acquiring business, selling business. When should you sell? You know, it was all good. Didn't really apply to me, and I felt a little bit out of my element. But I somehow fumbled through it, got through it. But, you know, I still like having fun conversation. I don't want it to always have to be so damn serious. So the Spirited Podcast started because I'm just tired of, you know, race, right? Gender. You know, like, do you want to get up and take on the day or what? Are you spirited? You know, Casey Neistat's brother, Van Neistat, check out his YouTube channel, is great. And it's called The Spirited Man. And he's the one that, I mean, just watching it, you know, he's like, his generation comes from, like, he's the fixer generation. You know, something's broken, let me go get my toolbox. We'll put some screws in it, maybe some tape, some glue. We'll get it fixed up. You know, where this generation now, we just replace it. But it's just... I just like spirited people. I don't want to hear all the things you can't do. Let's talk about what you can do.
No, I think you're right 100%. With my podcast, I have one that has been many different themes. Like I said, it started out business, and then it just kind of evolved into like this spirituality consciousness type of platform. You know, I started it with the premise of like, you got, you know, obviously you just got to be better than you were yesterday, but now like your superior self, like what is our higher self? Like, what is that? You know, like, and that is my pursuit. That is my, I'm a seeker of truth, and I don't want to believe anymore. Like, I want to know. So like, I'm trying to know the higher self, not just believe in it. Right.
Yeah.
So that's where the podcast is taking me. That's where I'm going. And yeah, man,
Have you thought about doing a different podcast, just completely different,
not at all.
Fun.
This podcast.
Not that one's not fun.
This podcast is very time consuming. Like, I have, you know, a ton of guests. I'm booked out, you know, to December. Like, it takes a lot of work for a podcast, and to have another one, I don't even know what that would be about. Like, everything, this your superior self, like, I envision it to be like, what is today? August 11th.
Wednesday.
You heard it here first. It's going to be a number one podcast in the world at one point. But to get it there, like, I need to put all my energy.
Wait, was that breaking news? Your podcast is going to be the number one podcast in the world. Okay.
It's going to be number one in the world. It's going to be better than Joe Rogan. But yeah, I have to, in order for that to happen, like, I need to focus a lot of time and effort into that, just that, you know what I mean?
Well, it's funny that, you know, I'm a big fan, and we're both big fans of Joe Rogan's podcast. Love Joe Rogan. Not sure I'd want the number one podcast in the world. You know, you're starting to see some things. Joe Rogan's always been great about kind of keeping his whole world besides the podcast life out of the public's eye, but he'll give you snippets, and you're starting to learn, like, he needs a security crew now. He needs, you know, he can't, you know, he has to have everything. I mean, people are always coming at him now through social media and different ways.
Well, I got rid of all my social media, like, except for Instagram. Like, I'm disconnecting from a lot. Like, I'm trying to be in the moment more. Like, I have this belief that the past and the future.
Well, Instagram's probably the worst one.
Well, I mean, I like it because, like, I can post something and, like, and it's private. So, like, I get a lot of, like, you know, friend requests or whatever you want to call it. I think Facebook's is worse just because of, like, all the news. Like, I don't know. I don't get a lot of news feed, like, the negative stories is on Instagram as much. Like, I follow a lot of spiritual people. So, like, I get a lot of, like, you know, if I get an advertisement, it's about usually, like, Aubrey Marcus or some type of meditation or something like that. And I can take a picture and just send it and write a few things, whereas Facebook is, like, everything is, like, funneling into this platform where it's just so negative, man. Like, I literally...
Well, you can shape it a little bit. I mean, if you don't like something, block it. If you don't like it, delete it. You know, I unfortunately have, you know, a couple businesses, and if you want to post stuff on Facebook, they've maneuvered it in a way so you have to have it. I actually don't find it that bad. If I don't like something, I delete it. If it's something, an ad I don't like, I block it. And it's kind of this simple place. Instagram to me is more I mean, I can, you know, I'm into reels. I love watching it. I think social media is great. You know, if sure. you, I mean, I have to have a understand what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And let's be very clear. Social media is about making money. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, a lot of things are.
Everything is. Yeah. But that's what social media is about. Advertising, posting stuff, making you feel like you're doing something. You know, TikTok has a great algorithm that, you know, when you do your first post, they like to give you some extra likes
sure.
to really get you in. Yep. You know, it's all just understanding what it is, but it is what it is, yeah. you know.
And well, eventually I'll be withdrawn from all of that, and I'll do it, and I will be able to be that example for people, right? Like to say, like, I've done this without any of that. And I'm here to tell, I'm the example for you. And, yeah. and this is how I did it, you know? And I'm just saying, like, I want to do it differently. Like, you see everybody that's trying to be like Facebook famous, and you're trying to see everybody who wants to, you know, subscribers. Like my daughter says she wants to be a professional YouTuber. I'm like, baby, don't even do that.
That's going to be the job. That's going to be the, believe me, that is, you know, in 10 years, dude, we are going to have, and that's what this universal basic income is going to be like. Here, you know what? You want to be a YouTuber? You go be a YouTuber. Here's $1,000 a month. You can get your rent and everything paid, at mm-hmm. least, hopefully. Go be a YouTuber. It's an art, right? It's the arts. And that's what mm-hmm. they're saying, that that's going to be our life. You know, careers are going to be based in the arts, creating stuff for people, mm-hmm. you know, covering our, getting a roof over our head, but still being able to work. I mean, it's going to be, to me, unless somebody gets in there and figures out how to try to maneuver it to make more money and screws it up, every kid I know, every adult I know has a kid that says, I want to be a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my kids are the same way. I want a YouTube channel.
Yeah. They want subscribers. They want, you know, I don't know. I can't watch it for very long. It's just I hear it in the background. They're sitting there playing video games. And I'm watching, you know what I mean? It's just you got channels that kids are playing with toys. And then you got channels that are people that are playing games. And it's just, it's crazy.
Dude, my daughter was watching this lady eat lollipops. That's it. All bright, colorful. And she's just, I'm like, what the fuck are you watching right now? Stop it. Your brain. But it's where we're headed, unfortunately.
Sure.
How are we doing on time? We good, or we got to get going?
She's waiting for these outlets to open, so she's ready to get shopping.
She's ready to get shopping. Well, listen, I appreciate it. You want to go insane? Go head on down to the outlets, and you find. You go. Well, I'm not doing social media, like, but I'll go to the outlets.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, she's like, "You want a podcast? Yeah, okay. Well, guess what? We're going to the outlets afterwards."
So. Listen, I get that. I give, you know it's, I mean? A give and take. That's how give my wife take. Is.
She just buy takes some shoes.
Get no gift.
I get the podcast, and now I got to buy a bunch of shoes.
Well, tell us where you. So, what's your Instagram?
TDowns80 is my Instagram. I do have a website, TreyDowns.com. You can find out more about me over there. You can see my story. Your Superior Self is the podcast. Follow, like, subscribe, share. And then a little shout out to, you know, Tom. Thank you so much for, you know, helping me promote my show and absolutely. Having me here today and talking about, you know, life and spirituality and reality and consciousness. Man, this is, I really look back and I tell people, like, this is the guy that called me for advice, and now he's doing the thing that he said he was going to do. And now you have a network, and you have 10 or 12 podcasts, and you're doing it, and you're sponsored, man. I you're a success story in this industry, man.
Well, thank you. You know, what I'd love to see from you is to see you do a little less spiritual book reading and just try to figure out your spirituality.
Yeah, man.
You know, because I think one thing for me is the journey of spirituality is that it's evolved, and I've learned, and I've started to understand where I can nurture parts of it and start to realize that some of these other parts are more self-motivated, self-seeking. And, you know, I don't want to see you get your spirituality too cluttered up by, mm-hmm. by everybody mm-hmm. else's spiritual mm-hmm. idea, because you're mm-hmm. a smart guy. Mm-hmm. I just like to see you just kind of see how that's, because I tell you, you've softened a little. You were very yeah. wiry and electrical before, and now you're like, hey, maybe there's a spirit.
I have stepped back a little bit in allowing my ego to kind of take a back seat.
I don't think it was ego. I think it's a simple thought. I think, you know, it is true. Absolutely everything you said then when we had that first conversation about electrical and stuff is sure. absolutely true. Mm-hmm. But
I'm kind of taking in the moment. I want to be in the moment more. So I'm like, I'm right. taking everything in, and it's... And instead of being that aggressive, like in your face, or kind of like, you know, motivated, highly motivated person, like I'm learning to take things in more and kind of appreciating the moment.
Yeah.
You know?
You're getting older, Trey.
I know.
All right, trade downs. I love to say that. All right, buddy. Well, listen, hopefully we'll see, get you back here before next summer.
We're going to have you back on for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're getting, hopefully our house will be built and we can have you guys down, have you over for dinner. Yeah,
definitely, definitely.
All right, brother. Well, listen, check him out. He's, you're, you know, all the kind words you said about me, but in the end, it was you that gave me the first of advice. So I appreciate it.
No doubt.
All right, peace. I'll talk to you later.